Oh. Okay, so we were discussing the Gemara, Chesma Beis, about a person who shechts with a sakin of Avodas Kechavim. The opinion of Rav was Kaylef, that you have to remove that part of the skin, or that part of the flesh. Rabbi Barchana Amar Madiach, it's enough to wash it off. And the Gemara initially suggested what they're arguing about is whether the Makom HaShechita is warm or hot, is it Reseach, or is it Tzainain? If it's Tzainain, so then as long as the knife is clean, you wash it off and you go home. Or even if the knife wasn't clean, just wash off the area and you go home. If it's Reseach, oh, so then the flavor that's embedded in the knife is going to come and get embedded in the flesh, and therefore you have to cut it off. Then the Gemara says, no, maybe everybody holds it's Chama, but one opinion is it can't absorb anything because there's so much blood rushing out, everyone's rushing out of Mincha, no one can get in the door. Or the other opinion is, no, maybe everyone holds it's Tzainin. How could a Blia go through into the flesh when it's Tzainin, when it's cold? So he said, Duch de Sakina Bala, the knife pushes the Blias in even though it's cold. So Taisus over here asks, even let's say the Makom HaShechita is hot. Let's go back to the first possible way that the Gemara understood this machlokes, that the place of the argument about whether or not the Makom HaShechita is hot or not is close to Yad Soledis, I guess, right? I guess body, I don't know what the body temperature of a cow is. Is it 98.6 degrees also? I don't know. Avrami, your flip phone has a... Anyway, I assume, I guess it's close to Yad Soledis, the lowest shiurim of Yad Soledis, about 104, right? So 110. So I guess it's close to Yad Soledis. It's warm, not Yad Soledis, but which would really be hot, and of course the Blia would go through. But it's, okay, it's warm. So one opinion considers that to be hot, and therefore the Blia goes through from the knife into the flesh, and the knife has Blios, has flavors embedded that are prohibited. But 1 minute, is the knife a ben yomo pot or not a ben yomo? We explained yesterday, I think this is what we ended off with, that in order for a blia to come out of a pot and prohibit an item that's subsequently cooked in it, the blia has to be fresh within the pot. If it's more than 24 hours old, since it was used for the macholas asuras, it can no longer answer the pot. That is a great safety net in kitchens. The other one, by the way, is soap. Soap. Anytime you use soap is gevaldik, because any blia that goes subsequently into a pot is always tarnished, is always ruined because you have soap. So let's say I have a pot that was used within the last 24 hours. And then I wash it together in a dishwasher, with kosher pots. But there's soap there. Oh, so whatever blia comes out in the dishwasher from the trefa pot, Starbucks, comes out from the trefa pot and goes into the kosher pot, so as long as there's soap there, that blia is ruined. So even if it's within 24 hours, it can't be a problem. And because it's noisy in time of gum, so it's batel in the water. It's batel in whatever water, as long as there's rive, even if it's not 60. Because we don't apply tam ki ikar, that the flavor is considered to be like the item itself, unless it's noisin tam l'shvach. If it's noisin tam l'fgam, so then we treat it like any item that has become ruined. Let's say I have a piece of meat that is totally moldy and rotten and disgusting. So the Gemara says, then it's permitted. Because the Pasuk says, that what should you do with nevela meat? You should give it to the nachri. So presumably the nachri will eat it. It has to be edible by human beings. If it's not edible to human beings, even a dog wouldn't eat it. Certainly then it's not food vis-a-vis Malchus Asur. This comes up with regards to all pills. We're not getting sidetracked, but this is what all pills, even if it has Malchus Asur in the pill, a gelatin or something, but if you would chew it, it would taste terribly. So then that's not food. So even though it was once food, now it's no longer food. That makes it permitted. That's the Gemara Navai Dezara commenting in the Pasuk. I think it's a Mishpatim. What should you do with the Nevela? You should... You should give it to the ger who lives amongst you, or sell it to the nachri. So you see that it has to be edible to them. Nevela ru'uyu ager kruy nevela, says the Gemara. Nevela she'ena ru'uyu ager. If the ger wouldn't eat it, it's not kruy nevela. It's not called food at all, and it's entirely permitted. Bein b'pesach, bein when it comes to machalas asuras. If it's not food, even though Rabbi Blumenkranz has a wonderful book about checking pills and medications for chametz, if it's not edible, we presume that indeed it is permitted. So getting back over here, if you have a flavor that became rotten, ugh, soap, who would eat something like that, right? They wash your mouth out with soap. So that was something that was gross. So soap tastes terrible. So that's not like, so why do we have an OU on the soap? So you're right. We probably don't need an OU on the soap. The OU always says people are coming to us for Hashgacha. We're not going to turn them down, right? But at the same time, we probably don't need an OU on the soap. Soap is soap. So if it tastes terrible, it tastes terrible. It's not food. So over here, I have a blia that comes out of a pot, goes into a little bit of water. Ah, but now because of the soap, it gets ruined. So then, even if it goes back into a pot, it's already batel berov, because we don't apply tam ki'ika, that is the reason why we need 60 times in order to nullify the flavor. Here, the flavor is terrible. So the flavor is no better than if a food would taste like this. If a food would taste like this, it wouldn't be food. So if the flavor tastes like this, it's also a nice in tam of gam, it's batel berov. And it's like a nevego she'ena ru'uya lager, and therefore it's permitted. So that's why if you have a dishwasher, by accident you find a milchik dish in a fleshy dishwasher. And everything is ben yomo. Not everything is ben yomo. There's nothing to worry about. Everything is ben yomo. Or the reason why it's in the dishwasher is because it's dirty. So it has be'en on it. It has milchiks or fleshiks on it, which we'll get to in a second. Never becomes nois in tam of gam. Even if it's more than 24 hours old, the food is the food is the food, as long as the food is not rotten. So then it should still prohibit. Oh, yeah. I washed a milchik thing together with a fleshik pot. What's going to be the story? So the answer is, if you have soap there, everything tastes terrible. So the flavor that goes embedded into the other kli is already batel in the water of the dishwasher. And it's nois in tam of gam. It won't prohibit the other kalim. That's why dishwashers, you have to be careful. This you have to know. The dishwashers have two cycles. They typically have a wash cycle and a rinse cycle. So the newer dishwashers have the option of putting soap into the rinse cycle also. You should always put soap into the rinse cycle. Soap saves everybody. Otherwise, if you have a rinse cycle without soap, so then before you ever wash it with the soap, everything gets mixed around. The milchiks and the fleshiks, then you have a problem, potentially. So that's why you have to, the soap is always the great equalizer. Soap makes it also no same time with gum. So whenever you have a potty that's 24 hours old, or it tastes terrible because of soap, the blia doesn't answer, yeah.
So you could use only one dishwasher for both new and old?
We don't do that, because nosin tam of gam is based on the fact that it's batel berov and ain mavato and esor chachila. You're not really supposed to take an iser and be mavato with a little bit of milk into the chicken soup, even if you have 60 times, because we ain mavato and esor chachila. We don't rely on bitul chachila. So over here, there is a flavor of machol sasuris, but it's going to be batel in the water because we don't apply tam kiika because it tastes bad. But it's really bitul berov and ain mavato and esor chachila. So you really shouldn't use the same dishwasher for milchiks and fleshiks at the same time. You can maybe you could kosher a dishwasher in between, but that's a whole different story. Yeah.
Does it matter if the soap is put in and then rinsed off, or if it's rinsed and then the soap goes
afterwards? Well, the soap and the rinse cycle. See, the water goes through the soap dispenser, so it has one dispenser for the wash cycle. So it takes the soap and makes it soapy water, and then washes everything with soapy water, like a car wash. Okay. But the car wash also usually they first have water and then the soap cycle. So too many dishwashers will have water, rinse cycle, but they give you the option. If you want to put soap in the dishwasher, rinse cycle, do it. So some Jews are a little stingy with the soap. So, well, I need soap in the rinse cycle. But you should always, soap everywhere. Everywhere, soap. If you have soap everywhere, you're safe. Soap cleanses everything. So let's get back over here. What kind of knife is this? Is this knife a Ben Yomo knife or an Eino Ben Yomo knife? If the knife is an Eino Ben Yomo knife, what's the concern? The flavor that's embedded in the knife will not come out in Asa the Makom Hashchita, because either way, it's an old, bad flavor. So Taisus says, Tzarech LaHamid. He already is aware of the issue. That's where he starts. Tzarech, he starts with everything we already said. Tzarech LaHamid b'diyoidim b'ashi bas yom. It must be. We're talking about a knife that happens to be a bas yom knife. D'ilav hachia my kalef. If that's not the case, what are you cutting off the top part of the flesh for? Hastam kelim shalavdi kachavim einim b'nei yarmon. This is a general rule that is assumed throughout the Yoredeya. If you know it's not true, of course it does not apply. But in the absence of knowledge, we would say, stam kelim or einim b'nei yarmon. I find in my dishwasher, flesh kanaf, I don't know from whence it came. Stam kelim and ad b'nei yarmon. We assume it was not used within the last 24 hours. Ah, so must be here. We're talking about a kli that was, we know for a fact, was ben yomo. V'gabi achbar b'shichur perek pasur mesechus v'edizar mesupaklei legemarim sover rab noisin tam uvgam mutar osur. There's one opinion that rab might hold that noisin tam uvgam is mutar. If noisin tam uvgam is mutar, how could it be that a knife that's not ben yomo is going to prohibit the animal over here? Must be. We're talking about a knife that we know is ben yomo. But now Tosis is going to explain. How do you know stam kelim ha'ena b'nei yoyman? Who gives you the right to assume that? Maybe we should say stam kelim ha'ena b'nei yoyman. So Tosis brings a proof. V'raya de stam kli oivdei kachavim ha'ena b'nei yoyman. Mishemen shall Oivdei Kekhovim, from the oil of Oivdei Kekhovim. We'll have a look over here in the sheets from yesterday. The Mishnah Mesechus of Eidazar Lam and Heim Ebeis. The Mishnah is there is discussing those items that emanate from non-Jews, milk, pas, yayin. We've discussed, I think, many of them this year. So those you're not allowed to have if it was, you know, emanated, it was produced by a non-Jew. So says the Mishnah in the midst of that that discussion. It's prohibited to eat, but it's not prohibited to benefit from. You have chalavakum, and no Jew is watching. Pas or bread, pasakum. It's prohibited to eat, but not prohibited unless we come to socialize with them. We eat to intermarriage or shemen oil. What oil? We never heard of that one. The answer is, because the Gemara goes on to quote in the next line, Rebbe, you based Dino etira shemen. We never accepted this issue of oil. What are you concerned with the oil? The milk, maybe they mixed in milk from a treif animal. Camel's milk is usser. If the animal is usser, its milk is usser. That's the rule called yoytimina usser usser. If it came out of something that's usser, it's also usser. Even though milk is mutter, camel's milk is usser, because the camel's usser. But shemen, what are you concerned? Maybe they mixed in the camel's milk with the cow's milk. So we say in America, we're not concerned with that because the government's watching. So Moshe had his cooler here in America. But Rabbi Beis Din, what was the shemen? What are we concerned with the shemen? Rabbi Beis Din actually said shemen is mutter. But what were they concerned about? So the Gemara says, Zilifasan shokelim asurin oisartan. It's because of the flavor that's embedded in the utensils which they use to produce the oil. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's why the OU gives a hashgach on water. Said, what's the problem with water? It's water. So they found in one of the plants that they were producing water in the same equipment that they were producing pork and beans. It happens. It's on the equipment. If it's on the equipment, if it's hot, the flavor will come out of the equipment and go into the water. So too over here, the Gemara was concerned that maybe the equipment that they use for the shemen has flavors embedded in it of machol sasuras. Rabbi Yehuda Beis Dino nimnu ve'elav etiru. They allowed it. Why did they allow it? Kasobar noisein tam of gam mutter. The flavor that it gives off is negative. It's harmful. So therefore, it's batul berov. We're not concerned with it. The flavor of what? Flavor of what? The flavor that's embedded in the kli, or the oil that's on top of the kli? So Taisa says, "V'ka'amar." There, let's go back. But right, the stam kli of the kachamim in the binayomim, mishemesh of the kachamim, the stam perkim amidin, daaser oil of the kachamim, mezasim afari shmul begamar, mishum dezulifazon shokelim osaraton. The utensils that they use, the equipment might have ousted the oil, even though oil is permitted. The equipment might have chafed it up. That's why oil, of course, has to have hashgacha. Of course, has to have hashgacha. You say, all the ingredients are kosher. Yeah, but maybe it was made on treif equipment. They permitted it. They held that a flavor that gives off a negative contribution is mutter. What made the keilim anoint in time of gam? It must be that it's more than 24 hours old. How can they assume it's more than 24 hours old? Stam keilim einam b'nei yomim. So why do we need hashgacha on our oil? Because we know they're using equipment that is not Einan b'nei yomon. But in the absence of other information, we would assume stam keilim einan b'nei yomon, and therefore the oil of the Oivdei Kekhovim was permitted. De'ein lomar. So Tosfos is 1 minute. Maybe you'll say, no, what they're talking about is the oil itself. Maybe there's residue on the keilim of the previous run of oil, but their oil, their, the treif oil, gives off a harmful flavor to the kosher oil that they make subsequently. Don't tell me that whatever residue is left from the previous item that I made in this pot, my pork and beans, my shrimp, whatever you had over there, your lobster, is giving off a harmful flavor into the oil. That can't be. That can't be. Because as long as it's be'en, any food that is intact is never noisin tam of gam unless it became rotten. Just because it's more than 24 hours old doesn't make residue noisin tam of gam, yeah?
It's a little confusing. Is it coming to say that if we were to stay
at a little is not so bad.
if we were to stay at a hotel and then like they have a bunch of pots or like a hot urn,
yeah,
if we would just wash it with soap, then it would be considered fine. We wouldn't have to title it.
I don't follow. I'm just
very confused when it comes to this entire.
Tefillas Kelim is even if it was new and never used, you have to be toivel the kli. That's a mitzvah. Put in a mikvah. That has nothing to do with removing flavors that have been embedded in it. Anytime you buy an antique or you buy a new kli from a guy, you have to be careful. But that's only if I'm buying it. You're just using it. I go into the airline, and they own metal kelim. I don't have to make sure, and they're kosher. I don't have to make sure that they toivel their kelim.
So what about a hotel? Like that's why I'm like lost. Like, does this fall under that category?
But that's tefillas kelim. Tefillas kelim is a mitzvah, nothing to do with the flavors that are embedded in the
two
utensil.
Separate cases.
Two separate halachas. The other one is maybe the food became treif because they used it for lobster. That's a whole separate discussion.
Okay.
Separate discussion. But tefillas kelim was only if I own the kli. It's wrong though. The caterers have a big kula. What do caterers do? Pesach program. We said the other day, you have to toivel glass and metal. There's one parash of Hechsher Kelim. That was when we took the Kelim from the Bnei Midyan and Parashas Matos. We not only had to remove any harmful blias that were in it, and if it was used with direct heat, direct heat. If it was used with a medium of water, medium of water. But then we had to put it Achmei Nida Yischata. You had to put it into a mikvah in order to convert the Kelim. That's a mitzvah. You make a bracha on it. That's not because of things that are embedded in the Kli. It's a mitzvah to do it. And it applies both to metal, and the Gemara extends it to glass because it has similar properties to metal. You make a bracha on it. No bracha on china, because if it breaks, you can't fix it. Not similar to metal at all. But glass is similar to metal, so therefore you make a bracha on glass. What do the caterers do then? Pesach program. Thousands of glasses and utensils. You think they toivel all of it? They should. Because they own it. I don't own it. If it's not mine, I don't have an obligation to be toivel it. I don't have an obligation. You're not allowed to eat off a kli until it's been toivled, even the first time. But that's only if you own it. If I don't own it, or a Jew doesn't own it. So let's say a guy goes home and his parents haven't toivled their kelim. You guys, you know, you start schmoozing over the conversation. Hey, by the way, where do you toivel kelim? What? Toivel kelim? Who does that? What are you talking about? That's a problem. Right? So you're not supposed to eat off the kli before it's toivled, but the answer really is I'm supposed to encourage him to do it, but it's not really my obligation. The obligation is upon the owner. He can't use it until he toivels it. Then if he's not interested in toiveling it, then I don't have to worry about it either. It's really his mitzvah, not mine. But the caterers get out of it with the following cheshbin. They say, 1 minute. Let's say I own, my name is Mr. Fortunoffs, right? I own Fortunoffs. Is there still such a store?
Very few.
Yeah, very few. They used to sell, it used to be the big, when I got married, we registered in Fortunoffs, right? Okay. So there was they used to sell housewares. So if I own Fortunoffs, I have to toivel all the boxes of silverware that I have in Fortunoffs? No, because I'm not using it to eat. I'm using it to sell. It's only the person who's going to use it to eat. The first owner who's going to use it to eat has to toivel the kelim. Ah. So if I own the Buzz, right, which is, I think that still exists, or some kosher store in Borough Park, which sells silverware, I don't have to toivel everything in the store. I'm not using it to eat. I'm using it to sell. So the caterers argue, we're not eating off the kelim. This is our work kelim. We're no different than Fortunoffs. You're eating off it. You're not obligated in tefillah. It doesn't belong to you. So we're not obligated, and you're not obligated. Ah, come on. Why is it a bad cheshbon? It's a krum cheshbon. Because the owner eats at the Pesach program too. And also, Fortunoffs isn't eating off of it. They're keeping it in a box. So that's not kli achila. That's not kli su'uda. That's kli mechira. But here, you are using it to serve people food. And kli su'uda g'dayla mizu. So it's a very shvach akua that the caterers rely on. There's a chumra, this. Every kula has a chumra, yeah? What do you want
to
say?
Is it once a kli tovel, you never have to tovel it again?
Yeah, no, done. So unless you sell it to a guy.
Was it a good business
Oh, that's the chumrah. The shaila is, let's say Fortunoffs wanted to do one up on Amazon, right? So we said, we're going to sell, or Amazon will think of this, some frum guy. We'll sell pre-toiveled kelim. We'll sell pre-toiveled kelim. The problem is, you're not the one using it. It's not kli se'uda by you, it's kli mechira. So how can I toivel a kli for you when by me, it's not clay su'udah, it only becomes clay su'udah by you.
You have to use it one time.
Then I'm giving to you as a gift. Use kelim. Try selling that one on Amazon. Right? That's never going to happen. So maybe you could argue, well, if I'm going to eat at your house, let's say I want to bring you a bowl, but it's not nice to bring you a dish that you can't use without toivo. Then I just gave you a trip to the mikveh. So I want a toivo before you. I literally get the shayla once a month. I want a toivo for you because people making sheva brachas, they make a nice ufer if they want to give people a gift and the host. So they want to give something that's toivo. The shayla is, you're not eating off of it. The owner is eating off. The host is eating off of it. You're going to give him a dish that is toivo, but by you, it was only clay matana. It wasn't clay seuda. So maybe you say, well, if I'm going to eat at your house on top of that dish, for me, it's also clay seuda because I'm going to later eat there. Yeah, that's if you're going to eat there. Otherwise, it's shvacha maises. But that's all different than the caterer. The caterer is using it to serve food. So they argue, no, we're the same as Fortunoffs. Come on, that's a joke. But that's all with regards to the mitzvah of tvilas keilim. That's a mitzvah. Hekshe keilim is always is to remove the blias that are involved in the kli. Okay, so let's get back over here.
Should you ask if they tovel and you tovel it?
I don't think that's nice. You're not a nice guest if you do that. Say, by the way, where do you tovel the keilim? Then maybe rub his back, check for his tzitzis.
Like, bring plastic to the table and like, not use it?
Yeah, it's not great to be at people's houses who don't toivo the kelim.
I'm saying like caterers.
Ah, caterers. That's their fault. We can't worry about that. That's their problem. It's really their mitzvah. It's not my cool. Restaurants also should toivo the kelim. Same thing. Restaurants also. Shvachamaisis. It's not good.
I don't know restaurants.
They might. Caterers don't. I've poked around in a catering room when we're way Pesach. They don't. One Pesach I was there, the guy, the Mashgiach, kept running back and forth to me with Shiras. I said, what would you do? What was going on before I got here? I was like, all right.
And you were like the
salad. No. I was a private individual. I'm like, okay. Don't eat the salad. All right. Anyway, so let's get back. So the Gemara says over here, it can't be, says Tysus, that the residue of the keli is more than 24 hours old, and that would make it permitted, because residue, even if it's old, is prohibited. The imken, and he brings a raya that residue itself can never become harmful unless it's become rotten, right? Even though it's 24 hours old. Imken kashim asisa the husband the shayu dvash. Here, look over here, back in the sheet from yesterday. The Gemara of the Zohar Lama Tesma Beis. Ve'elu mutarim ba'achila. What are things that, if they're produced by a non-Jew, are permitted? Chalav shechavu ovde kacham v'yisrael. Ah, I have milk that was milked from a cow by a non-Jew, but a Jew was watching. And dvash. Honey that was made by a non-Jew. Of course, we need a hashgacha on honey because they might, it's processed now. Anything that's processed, of course, needs a hashgacha. But then if you would buy natural honey, so then it would be permitted. Even if you buy it in a country store, it requires hashgacha. You never know what's going on with it. Everything is produced needs hashgacha. But okay, if you buy honey produced by a non-Jew, it's all right. Devash l'may nechosha. What are you concerned with the honey? Im yishum meruve. If you're concerned that they're going to mix in other honey, misrasari, or other ingredients that harms the flavor of the honey. So it's nice in time of gam. If you're concerned with the fact that it's cooked by a non-Jew, you can eat honey raw. Bishalakum, did we discuss it this year? It doesn't apply if it's something that's edible raw. If you can eat carrots raw, there's no bishalakum. If the guy will cook the carrots, anything you can eat raw, does bishalakum doesn't apply. Maybe the pots are that you make the honey in were used by a non-Jew, and they have flavors embedded in them. Noisin tam of gam hu umuter. Those flavors embedded in the pot are noisin tam of gam. So says Tosfos, the fact that it's noisin tam of gam, the pots, is not the same as the residue. Because initially the Gemara said, maybe they mix something in. The Gemara says, no, mystery, sorry, that hurts the flavor of the honey. You'd be able to taste it, or it's harmful. Then when the Gemara got to the pots, the Gemara said noisin tam of gam. So it can't be that there it's talking about the residue is noisin tam of gam, because the Gemara already discussed the residue. When you mix other things in, must be this is talking about the flavor that's embedded in the pot. So let's see Tosis. The kashrim, if the imkain, if you're gonna say the residue is what the Gemara is talking about by the oil, kashmas nisan. Then the mission later on, the Hasim, the Shayat Vash, Mefarish Begumar, that honey is produced by non Jews, permitted. What are you concerned? Imishum, Iruvim, Misrisari. If you're concerned they can mix other things in, it harms the flavor of the honey. Imishum, Gulav, they can call them. If it's because of the flavor of the pot, so it must be that those are two separate things. The residue and the pot. So it must be we're not discussing the residue. And if it would, but by the oil, we assumed it was prohibited. Even though everyone agreed the honey is mutter, that's because the residue that you mix in it is also noisin tam of gam. The only pagam that's by the shemen is the fact that the pot is eino ben yomo. So the honey is different than the shemen. That's why the honey is permitted according to everyone, whereas the shemen was, at least there was one opinion that was prohibited. But even according to us, the shemen is permitted because the pots are noisin tam of gam. That's obviously not discussing the residue. Otherwise, there could be no difference between the dvash and the shemen from the fact that the Mishnah distinguishes. Shemen is a machloikis, dvash is no machloikis. That's because dvash, even the residue, is permitted as opposed to shemen, where the residue would be prohibited. What then? Why then were there those that answered the shemen? If the residue was without a doubt prohibited, because there were those that said even the pot, the flavor is embedded in the pot is prohibited, and then we said we don't accept that. Rebbe Beis Dino Etiru, because the pots you can presume were eino ben yomo, and it's nois in tam of gam. Okay, so it must be that we see from the oil that was permitted, that was produced by the non-Jews, permitted because the flavor is embedded in the pot is nois in tam of gam, and therefore it's about to be right. But oi mefarish, hasam, hey, you got to see this gemara, it's going to lead us to the next Tosfos. The Gemara says over here in Avodah Zarah, Gametes Med Aleph, Hakoyret Shel Chiltes, if you have slices of chiltes, which is a kind of vegetable, are prohibited if it's produced by a non-Jew. Chiltes slices. My time, huh? Mishum de Mifsiki Leibis Sakina, because they cut it with a knife. And even though Alpha Gavda Mamar Nois in Tam of Gamutter, even though we hold nice in time of Gamma's mutter, and Tosfos will say, right, and even though we can presume all Kalim of an Oyvei Kekavim are Einon B'nei Yoyman, and therefore the flavor embedded in it is nice in time of Gam, why then are the slices of Chiltis prohibited? Agav Chorfei de Chiltis, because it's sharp, Machli Lei Shamnunisa, it removes the flavor of the embedded in the knife, V'havi Lei Kenois in time of Shvach V'yoser. So when you're cutting sharp items, what's known as what we would call a davar charif, since you're cutting a davar charif, radishes and onions or chiltes, so when even though the knife is eino ben yomo, and the general safety net of all the chaskatras is not only the soap, but the fact that if it's eino ben yomo, any mistake you make in the kitchen come out, won't ask for the food because it's eino ben yomo. If you cut it with a davar, if you cut a davar charif with a knife, so then the davar charif removes the flavors from the knife and revives it and makes it like it's a ben yomo. And therefore the slices of the chiltas are prohibited. So Tosfos says, why do you need that reason? Because of a davar charif. If most kelim of a non-Jew, we have to presume are ben yomon, I don't need that reason. Just say, because the kelim is ben yomo. From the fact that the Gemara says, because agav churfei de chiltas machli l'shamnuse, it revives the flavor. That sounds like, otherwise, we would have presumed it was nice in time of gram. So it says Tosfos, V'oid, the mefarish hosom, time of the kurt shal chiltas, why can't you eat the chiltas slices of non-Jew? Is the osom mishum de mifsiki lebe sakina. Because you cut it with the knife, av agav, the nice in time of gram, mutter, even though the nice in time of gram is permitted. And if it's all more than 24 hours, it's nice in time of gam. Agav churfei de chiltas machli lei umash vilei leshvach. Because since it's a davar charif, that revives the old flavor. If the knife was a ben yomo, what do I need the reason because of agav churfei? Because it's so sharp, it revives the flavor. It would be prohibited anyway because it's a ben yomo knife. Must be that most of their kelim, we could presume, were einam b'nei yomo, and therefore the Gemara needed this reason, that since it's a davar charif, it revives and reconstitutes the flavor. Okay. So Tosfos made the point, at length, that residue on a knife is always a problem. The Gemara brought that up earlier. Right? The Gemara said, why do I need to prohibit the knife because of the hana, of the fact that it was used for avodah zarah? Tepeklei mishum shamnunis. There's residue on the knife, and the residue will always be prohibited, even if it's more than 24 hours old. But if there's no residue on the knife, it should be like regular kalim. And if it's hot in ben yomo, it will create a problem. If it's either cold or eino ben yomo, It will not create a problem, and we can presume stam kelim einu b'nei yomot. So what am I so concerned over here then with the knife of the Ovi Kachavim? How is it prohibiting the Makom Hashkita? Says Taisus, must be we're talking about kelim that we know are b'nei yomot. The Ran here quotes a few other terutzim to this kash of Taisus. He says tirtu bazeh and the sheep from yesterday. The alpha gav the stam kelim shalav the Kachavim einu b'nei yomot. Even though most kelim are not b'nei yomot, hani milu b'shar kelim. That's other kelim. They're knives, right? Most people have in their kitchen a few knives that they're constantly using. A knife set, a nice gift, young couple. They're expensive. So we're afraid that it's ben yoimai because knives are used more commonly than other kelim. But then the Ran rejects this, meaning even though stam kelim ain't ben yoimai, knives, we have to presume are ben yoimai. Taisa said, no, we happen to be talking about a case where we know this was ben yoimai. That's far-fetched. So the Ran wants to say a little bit more generally, all knives are b'nei yomot. And the Ran says, no, that's too much. Then he says, then he says, no, maybe it's because there's residue on all of the knives, because no one ever washes them off, which always bothers me in the restaurants over here, right? They cut the tuna fish sandwich, and then I ask for a bagel with cream cheese, and it tastes like tuna fish, because the guy wiped it on some all-purpose cloth. So chayshinu l'sham nunish atuach alpanav. That's why it's prohibitive. If you're reading the cliche in ben yomav and oisin time of gam and udav kibisar balua, that's only if it's embedded in the knife. This is on top of the knife. So if the makom hashchita is hot, even if the kli is in ben yomav, there's residue on it, and the residue will get embedded in the makom hashchita. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Now it's not enough to wash it off, since the makom hashchita is hot. According to that opinion, it gets embedded in the makom hashchita. So the only time we apply nice time of gum is if it is embedded, it's a flavor embedded in the pot. Here it's a shamnunis that's be'en, hanudav kibisabalu, fishu nivgam, but doifne a kli. It becomes rotten in the walls of the kli, about isishu be'en, if it's intact, a few enubin a yom abadagopogin. That's what it means. Then he quotes Taisus and said, we happen to be knowing we're talking about a knife that is ben yomo. Okay, so but if you have either a knife that is ben yomo, or even if it is eno ben yomo, you have residue on the knife and you cut something hot, then you have problems. But if it's clean and it's eno ben yomo, then you will be okay with the knife. But will you? Because then the Gemara says over here, let's get to the conclusion now of the Gemara. Gemara says, why do you have to be kailik the makom hashchita? Maybe everybody holds the makom hashchita is cold. But there's a new principle called duchka de sakina, the thrust of the knife, embeds the flavor in the makom hashchita, even if it's cold. Now, it can't be better than hot. So it must be ben yomo, right? Taisa said, we're only talking about a knife that's ben yomo. Or, as the Ran said, a knife that's dirty. But if it's dirty, or ben yomo, it will prohibit whatever you're cutting because of the thrust of the knife will thrust the flavors into the new food. Even though it's not hot, typically in order for food flavor to be transferred from one pot to the other, it's got to be liquid and it's got to be hot. Here we're saying, no, with a knife, duchka de sakina can embed flavors even if it's cold. So Taisus here raises a big issue. Taisus didn't ask, agav duchka de sakina bala. Whew, this Taisus saves us. Says Taisus. This is the Rivam. And Taisus held that after, you know what Nikra Achelev is? We don't do it nowadays. There's a guy who's trying to revive it. A Nikra Gid. That's removing. There are lots of parts of the animal we don't use because there's prohibited fats in that part of the animal or the Gid Anosha. So we typically don't. The butchers don't even offer that part. It never makes it out of the slaughterhouses. They sell it. But some of the meats are fancier meats. But you have to have a masaira how to do nikor, which means how to cut around the fats. So the guy over here in the city, was a Sephardish rabbi, was trying to create. He started a company in Hoboken, I think, that sells these fancier meats because he claims to have a masaira how to do nikor. Anyway, but typically we don't have those parts of the animal. We don't have a tradition how to do nikor. But if you could, cut around those prohibited fats, so then those meats would be permitted. But you're touching those fats with your knife. So the Rivam, Hayimatzach mitokach ha'akash anakwa ha'cheu min ha'behema lachs of aliklov b'chol ha'makom v'shachotak b'sakin. Since you're using your knife to cut through the prohibited fats and then you cut the basar, you cut the meat that you were going to serve right in the grocery store with the same knife, so you have to shave off the upper layer of the meats. Why? Because the flavor of the prohibited fats that you cut through gets embedded in the meat. Not all the way through, like if you cooked it in a pot, but it goes beyond the surface. You can't just wash it off. It gets embedded in the item. That's what Agamar says. Dukha de sakina, even if everything is cold, pushes flavors in beyond the surface of the meat. Don't you see that? So even though everything there is cold, when you're chopping out the treif chelev, the prohibited fats of the animal, it's going to get embedded in the meat. If you had fleishiks, meat that you know was shechted properly, but it was cut by a non-Jewish butcher, matrich liklof b'chol mokom shechotach oiv de kochavim b'kupit shalom b'sakino. He felt he had to shave off the outer layer of all of the food that he cut with his knife or his axe. Well, we don't do that, though. We don't do that. So it says to us, Yishlim sotama minik shalonu shenagul lahakel. We don't do that. We just wash it off. V'dilma, because maybe the only time dukha de sakina creates a problem is beis hashchita davka. Shereisech tzas, right? The beis hashchita is not room temperature, it's clearly 70 degrees. How hot is a beis hashchita? How hot is a cow's body temperature?
102.5.
Oh my gosh. That's functioning body temperature of a cow?
Yeah.
Wow, that's close to Yasoletis. That's close to Yasoletis. The minimum is 104, 110. That's close. So it's, wow, that's hot. So it's warm. Way above room temperature. So since it's warm, this is closely Yasoletis, so says Toysviz, then we put into the chulin pot, dukha de sakina. Oh, now we have a problem. The makom hashchita only, though. So if you're using a treif knife, and anyway, it's close to Yasoletis, if the knife is ben yomo, or the shamnunis on the knife, oh, now you have a problem, it got embedded, not beyond the surface of the base hashchita, you have to be covered if you have to remove the outer layer. But if you're discussing cold slabs of meat in a butcher shop, so then even dukkah de sakina can't answer it. Mahani dukkah de sakina. Teda, how do you know that that's the case? Me daikina besamach that teira namiksas kabbalah me'evim menachai. Frakti gemara. How do I ever shecht an animal through and through at the beginning of the shechit that's evim menachai, at the end of the shechit that's permitted? Why doesn't the flavor of the knife prohibit it from there right at the beginning? It gets embedded with the flavor of evim menachai. At the end, it's going to infect the animal with the prohibited flavors of an evim menachai. The gemara says because when does the makom hashchita get hot? At the end, not at the beginning. I mean, it didn't affect the knife until the end. So the Gemara is going to get to that. We'll see it. So he says, well, who cares when it's hot? Maybe the makom hashchita is cold, but just dukkah de sakina answers everything. So he says, Taisus must be the dukkah de sakina is only a problem if it's somewhat hot. The dukkah de sakina tikshu lei haki de teranami ugav dukkah de sakina kaboi de umatsu shinui haki ovade agav dukkah de sakina nami lobo besoif hashchita de chayma. It's only at the end of the shchita when it's hot. Moreover, says Taisus, I have another proof. From the sugi of Dover Charef, we saw that it appears in Avodah Zarah over there in Lamed Tesem and Aleph, but the real sugi of Dover Charef is later on in Chulin Kuf Yudal from Ebeiz. But the Gemara says, Tsnoin, a radish, Shechotcho Besakin Shalbosa, that you cut with a fleshka knife, Asa La'achla Bekutach. You're not allowed to put it in milchiks, because the radish has become fleshiks. Now, Dover Charef is a little bit more severe than Dukha de Sakina. Dover Charef, together with Dukha de Sakina, prohibits the whole item. So if I have a knife that I cut a davar charef, let's say an onion or a radish, and the knife is a fleshik, a knife, the whole onion, the whole radish, through and through, not just the outer layer, becomes fleshiks. The tznoin polat hasakin u'polat tznoin av amishum dukkaloi. It's only davar charef together with dukkah de sakina. Let's say I cook onions whole in a pot. So then davar charef doesn't apply. Davar charef is only if you cut it with the knife. But what do you see? The dukkah de sakina, together with davar charef, asers. Why don't you davar charef? If all dukkah de sakina asers, even if you cut any vegetable, if I cut a carrot with a knife, It should all be fresh enough. It should all be fresh. No, it's because normally Dukkah Zakino only causes a problem when it's at least somewhat hot. It's close to the Yad Soveret. It's like the Makom HaShkita. If it's cold, Dukkah Zakino cannot create a problem. So if you have somewhat warm meat, maybe you could have a shiloh of Dukkah Zakino. If it's a treif knife, you'd have a problem. But if it's cold, even though you cut it with a knife, wash it off, and everybody goes home, as long as we're not dealing with a Dover Charif. So Dover Charif, even though we have a few safety nets in the kitchen, there are a few wild cards that could cause problems. That's, of course, the Dover Charif. It's always a problem. Always a problem. Yeah, or could create a problem, potentially. Okay, but the knife itself, Dukkah Dishakina, is not really so much of a problem. But that's only if the knife is clean. What if the knife is dirty? So it won't get embedded beyond the surface, but certainly the surface will be prohibited. So, Chevre, this creates a problem. You want to go out to a business lunch. So nowadays, people are a little bit more understanding. You could order from a restaurant in the city, and they'll serve you. It'll come wrapped in a bunch of tinfoil, but they'll serve you in another restaurant. They usually have a deal with some kosher, fancy. Kosher restaurants have a deal with kosher restaurants, and they'll import food from the kosher restaurant with even that almost can look like the same china, same food. You can get almost anything. Abigail's Lamare, they all do this, and you could get kosher food while everyone else is eating tray food. But if you can't do that, particularly if you're not the client, right? You're no leverage over here. So then you have to figure out what to do over here is to preserve social graces. You could order a Coca-Cola in a glass. Why? Everything's cold. What about the go-to thing that everyone wants to say? What about, first of all, sushi, but chlal not. The rice is cooked. First of all, there's so many problems with the sushi, I don't even know where to start. The rice, who's to say it's kosher rice? And even if it's all rice is fortified, and even meaning there's other ingredients in the rice. And then even, forget about that, it's bishalakum. The rice is not edible raw, and certainly they would serve it at a dignitary's table. It's olal shulchan malachim, so the rice is a problem. Besides the fact that the same knife they cut the octopus roll, they cut your roll. Bechlal, nothing to talk about. Bechlal. Terrible. The Jews eating out in sushi place is terrible. I don't know. Anyway, but what about salad? Salad! What could be wrong? Well, bugs. But let's leave the bugs out of it for now. You'll order iceberg lettuce. Bugs. Yeah, but they cut the vegetables with their knives. You'll say, Dukkah Dishakina is not a problem if everything is cold. Look at Tosis and Chulin and Al-Chetzvah Beis. You're right. Dukkah Dishakina is not a problem if it's cold. If it's clean, if it's not, then it's all trafed up. You're right. It's not beyond the surface, but it's on the surface. Who's going to take a salad they get in a restaurant, go to the sink and wash it off and then come back? Mm-hmm. Nobody. So you have a problem. Even the salads are a problem. So you'll say no. Say like this. Come on, you think the knife is dirty? Who would use a dirty knife to cut a salad? You never want to go into the kitchen and see how the sausage is made. But unfortunately, the knives are flying back and forth. One thing that we hope, at least if it falls on the floor, that they wash it. We hope. But even that, no one's sure. They always use a knife for this, a knife for that, a knife for this, a knife for that. Come on. Can't assume that way, that the knife is clean. So Rabbi Willig is famous for saying you can have a whole cucumber, a whole carrot, horse food. I don't know what to tell you, Chevra. You can't get hot coffee either in their mug. It's hot. Get cold drinks, even though it's in a glass, that you could do. But other than that, I don't know what else to tell you. Salads are a problem, particularly if they cut onions. There's onions in the salad. Oh, yeah. And even if the knife is clean, you have a problem. So salads are not great. There is a cooler, though. What about fruit that's cut in a grocery store? Sliced melon. People want to buy this in Costco. See, the kosher grocery stores sell cut fruit with hashgacha, which raises the price exponentially. But I'll buy it in the Costco or Trader Joe's or where, I don't know, wherever they sell this stuff. So there you can probably buy it because the price can say that all the guy sits there all day. I've seen him do it in the grocery store. He cuts melons. You sit there, guy sits there for half an hour cutting melons. So even if there was resin, first of all, everything's cold. Dukkah Dishakina, there's not a problem if it's cold. And if the knife is clean, it's okay. So even if the first melon wasn't clean, by the time you get to the 50th melon, the knife is clean. So therefore, many everyone says you could buy the sliced melon or watermelon or strawberries if you eat strawberries. So you can buy blueberries and raspberries. You know, there's bugs, but assuming there's no bugs issues, you can buy sliced fruit in the grocery store even if without hashgacha, because presumably the knife is clean by the end. The duchat de sakina alone does not remove, if it's cold, does not remove flavors from the knife, only if it's hot or the knife is dirty. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Are there no health regulations about using different knives for things in restaurants?
In a kitchen?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You think that they have to have vegetable knives?
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
That's like
incorrect. No, incorrect. No.
So no one's in there frequently enough to check?
No.
Oh, no, but if they, like...
No, there's no such thing.
There's no
such thing. Allergies. Allergies. So they have to clean their utensils for the people with the allergies.
Okay.
But if it's non-allergenic, what you... I'm allergic to everything that's not kosher. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
Sausage, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, okay, so you helped with the sausage.
So they clean off
the all shellfish. Sausage. So fine, they won't cut the lobster and then cut your thing. You would hope. But there's a million things that are going on in the kitchen over there. Can't assume that the knife is clean. It would be nice if you could. But you can't assume the knife is clean. But halal, there's nothing to talk about sushi. A guy asked me, he says, I'm traveling in Africa. What can I eat? I was like, nothing. What do you want from me? You can't eat anything. He says, all they eat is these noodle dishes, apparently. So I said, well, they probably serve it if that's all they eat. That's what they serve at the dignitary's house also. So that's a bishul akum. And I don't know what they put in your noodles. And well, it's Buddha Budai and everything is vegetarian. It doesn't matter any of this. It doesn't matter any of this. No, no good. Everything, no good. No good. No good. None of it. The knives are all no good. What do you say?
The sliced fruit in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Why is it good? Because we assume that it's clean.
The knife, first of all, everything is cold. Duchat sakina alone is not a problem unless it's somewhat hot or the davar charif. And even if the knife wasn't clean the first time, we can't trust that it was. We hope it was. Because here the guy's not in the kitchen going back and forth from five different things. He's not a sous chef, but he's just cutting melon. So hopefully it was clean at the beginning. Even if it wasn't, by the time you get to the second melon, it's all clean. Because it got cleaned off by the first melons. How much residue is on it already? Right. Even if he went from the fish counter where he chopped his head off the lobster and then he went and he cut the melon, which you would hope he wouldn't do that, but you never know. By the time you get to the 50th melon, you ever seen these guys in the grocery store? They sit there cutting fruit, yeah. They sit in front. I don't know why they do it in the middle of the whole aisle, but they do that. And you can... that's okay, yeah.
So the same as like a fruit cart?
Fruit cart also.
Like the whole cart.
Yeah, so if a guy, though, sells other things. Let's say I go in the city, there are these juicers. And they sell, first of all, they put cream and they do other stuff. Or you go to, people want to do this in the gym. They go to the gym. Some people go to the gym, they told me, just to get the smoothies. So then there's other ingredients there. So even though there's lots of fruit around, that's nice. But there's other ingredients. If there's mamish, no other ingredients at the stand. I checked the entire ingredient. They make lemonade. Sometimes you go down south, he has this. They make lemonade. A guy sitting at a flea market, all he does is make lemonade. And I look at everything he has there. He's got water, lemons, sugar. I see everything. And he's got a juicer over there. All he's doing is lemon after lemon after lemon after lemon. So then that's okay. But if they have other stuff going on, then you have to assume that they're using this stuff back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. Yep. Okay, let's go on. Okay. Sak and Trefa. Piggy bar of Akiva, Rav Vina, Chadom of Bechamin, Vechadom of Betzoinim. We've been discussing now Sak and Shoavid Kechovim. What's the story? So Sak and Trefa, Rav Akiva, Rav Vina, Chadom of Bechamin, Vechadom of Betzoinim. How do you kasher it? One hold with hot, one with tzon, with cold. The Hilchasafil Betzoinim, even if it's cold. V'i, V'ika, V'lesi the parcel, V'mechbrei lo tzarech. And what's the reason that you require chamin? Uman domer b'chamin my time. Mishum de kabbalah isura de teira nami boa. 1 minute. But the reason why I have to kasher it in hot water is because the kabbalah isura is because it has flavors in it that are usher. De teira nami boa. 1 minute. Then even if you have a kosher knife, I didn't use a knife to shecht the treif. I used a knife to shecht a regular animal. It acquired flavors of Eber Menachai at the beginning of the Shechita, And then prohibits whatever I shecht at the end of the Shkita. Emas balach hi chayma. No, the only time, this is what Tosis quoted this Gemara, the only time that it asks the knife is when it's hot, and that's only at the end of the Shkita. Emas kachayma hi gamra Shkita, hi shaita teira hava. So there, at the end of the Shkita, everything is permitted, is no longer Eva menachai, and therefore the knife is not a problem. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, tatevach tzarech shleisha sakinim. Every proper sheichet requires three knives. Achat sheichet bo, one that he shechts with, and that has to remain sharp. No pegimus, no nicks in the knife, so you can't use it for other things. You can't use it to cut your screw string in your shed. You got to remain just for shechita. Achat shemechatek bo basar, one that they would cut the meat afterwards. Achat shemechatek bo chalovim, one that they would cut the prohibited fats. We'll just have one knife. First, you'll cut the meat, then you'll cut the prohibited fats. You won't have a problem. No, the Gemara says, maybe you'll switch the order. Maybe you'll cut chalovim, then you'll cut basar. So the Gemara says, well, even if you have separate ones, so the Gemara says, no, Kevin, it's Shechinu Trey, since we required you to have two, Islay Hakeira, you'll get red stickers and blue stickers, or basar stickers and chalev stickers. I don't know what color we're going to make prohibited fats. We'll make it orange or something, not blue, not red, not yellow, all the colors are taken, but you'll make it orange, that means prohibited fats, and you won't come to switch the knives. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, HaTevach Tzarech Shnei Kerem Shomayim, after you shecht the meat, you have to wash it off. So you need two buckets of water. Echa Shmediach B'Basav, Echa Shmediach B'Chalavim, one to wash off the meat, one to wash off the prohibited fats. V'Achach Basar, Hashtanami, Michlef Lei. But one minute, you're going to come to switch the bowls. No, Kevin, that's Rechunu Tarate, since required to. It's like a Keira, you'll be able to distinguish between them. Amar Ameim, Amishmeder, Papa, Loi Lischof, Inish, Kafle, Iluye, Basar. Don't put fats, prohibited fats, on top of a slab of meat, even just to pile them one on top of the other. The Doiv Tarbo, Bala Bisra, because the fat will drip down from the prohibited fats and seep into the meat. Ihachi, Ki Tiritzi Nami, Doiv. Tarbo Ubala Bisra. Even if you just put one solid slab, part of which is prohibited fats, part of which is the meat, and the wet meaning like I cut off that part of the animal, I just leave it lying flat. Forget about putting a separate slab of fat on top of a separate slab of meat. If I just leave the animal azoy the way it came, it should be also. The Gemara says, no, if that's the way it came, karma, there's a membrane in between the fats and the meat. Karma mifsik mitatoi. So ihaki. Malinami karma. 1 minute. So then even if I put one slab on top of another slab, isn't there a membrane somewhere in between? So the Gemara says, no. I did the mimashmasha yadei the tivka mefateach. Since the sheikhet finagled with it, he mished around with it. So the membrane has been punctured and the prohibited fats will seep onto the meat. Amar Yehuda Amarav. Talmud chacham tzarech sheyilmod gimel dvarim. Every time a chacham needs to know three things. Ksav. All three things none of us know anything about. Right? Ksav. Writing Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzas, Shkita, how to do proper Shkita, we don't even teach that in the Smicha program anymore, and Mila, I used to teach that in the Smicha program, I don't know what happened to it, and Mila. Now how to do Mila, at least halachas of Mila, every Rav should know the halachas of Mila. All of these three things, not in the YU Smicha. So Ksav, Shkita, and Mila. Every time a Chacham should know them. Rav Chanina bar Shami, Mishmei de Rav, Amar Av Kesher Shel Tefillin. You also have to know how to tie Tefillin. Anybody here know how to tie a tefillin? No. Baruch Hashem. Birchas Chasanim. Sheva Brachos. All right. Every rabbi should know Sheva Brachos. And tzitzis. Anybody here know how to tie tzitzis? All right. V'idach. Why didn't everybody say that? Why didn't everybody say that? What about these three? Why did the first Amar Yehuda Marav say only Ksav Shkita Mila? What about Keshe Shal Tefillin, Birchas Chasanim, and tzitzis? Hani Shkichin. Those are common. Which are common? What's common? Who is common? What's common? Common. Which is common? Pashupshad is, right? Pashupshad is, which is common, whatever. I don't want to say Pashupshad. Give it away. What does Rashi say? Hanishkichen, Tfilin, Tzitzis, Ubirchas Chasan, Mitzuyin Tadir. Happens every day. Hilka Chakol Bekiyim Behem. Everybody knows it. Ve'ein Tzrichon Limut, Shemayaswa Yabaki Behem. Chevra. Every day, tefillin, birchas chasanim, and tzitzis. We're tying tefillin every day. So, Banes, what? Where did Rashi live? What's more common? Ksav, shchita, and mila? Or keshet shel tefillin, birchas chasanim, and tzitzis? arguably Mila. We have a bris Mila over here every other day. There's a bris Mila in YU based medrash, or who knows, in the campus somewhere. Shechita, we're all eating meat. How many people ate meat last night? Ksav, people buy new mezuzos all the time. Way more than more new tefillin. So what do you mean these are more common? To the Ramban as a tomo. Taisus learned the Gemara just the opposite. You know which are Shkiach? Ksav, Shkita, Mila. That's Shkiach. So therefore you have to know it. Who's tying tefillin? Who's tying tzitzis? You buy it in this cipher store. I don't have to tie it. Birchas Kasanim. The fancy rabbis are making Birchas Kasanim. How many regular people get Bracha Achrita once in their life? Maybe their own kid's wedding. So what does they have to know? A guy has to know Bracha Achrita by heart. So it doesn't mean Hani Shkicha means Ksav Shkita Mila Shkiah. But Chavah, this is a big discussion here about tefillin. Tefillin, borrowing tefillin, Avnei Nezer, famous Avnei Nezer about borrowing tefillin. We're going to have to tell more about it. So look at this Taisus, Devar Masal Ve'idach. We'll have to get to tomorrow. Big fancy Taisus, and then we have a Lomdus Shesugya down over here at the bottom. We'll have to get to tomorrow. All right, Chavah.